You're listening to Tech with Heart, empowering business success in a digital era. Sponsored by Revelio, innovative software solutions that make your business come alive. Here is your host, international best-selling author, speaker, female tech founder, and innovative expert, Michelle Calloway.
Welcome to Tech with Heart. I am your host, Michelle Calloway, and today we are talking about how you can use technology to make your brainstorming sessions with your team more interactive. Tech with Heart's all about empowering entrepreneurs to be successful in a rapidly changing digital world. And today we have a very special guest. She's very innovative, very, very creative. You're going to love what she has to share. Her name is Lisa Rothstein, and she is a former Madison Avenue Advertising Agency associate, creative director, copywriter, but most of all, she's a cartoonist. That's what really got me, is that she's taking her innovation mind, her innovative mind, and her ability to create amazing doodles. And she even has done cartoons and works for The New Yorker to provide cartoons for The New Yorker. So that's pretty impressive. And today she's going to talk to us about different platforms and different ways we can engage our teams while living and working in an online world. So welcome to the Tech with Heart stage, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So without further ado, I know you wanted to share a lot of amazing ideas here for teams who are working virtually because, well, you're going to probably talk about the Zoom fatigue. Let's start there. Let's talk about how we can make brainstorming sessions and just team meetings in general a lot more interactive and engaging.
Absolutely. So, of course, the Zoom fatigue has almost become kind of a cliche. I wanted to share with you, just you mentioned that I've had cartoons in The New Yorker. So I just wanted to share with you quickly the one I'm most proud of, which is most recent. I did it a year ago before we knew that we were going to still be doing this all this time from now. And if you can see this, we've got a scene from Hell. And the devil is saying to his little assistant there, as you see all these people on laptops, miserable on their laptops, he's saying, it's new. We placed them in an endless video conference with everyone they couldn't stand in life. And so, and actually this cartoon has been licensed multiple times by people who go to the New Yorker cartoon store because it's just become a universal problem, a universal situation. So, so one of the things that I have been doing since the big pivot that everybody's been experiencing is I've done a lot of graphic, what we call graphic recording, where you'll see things like this. Actually, this is a graphic recording I did for my own presentation about how to doodle for communication. I'm just showing this as an example of I do these live during people's Zoom meetings on my iPad. It's digital, and people can see this while they're in the meeting. Or if the host decides not to spotlight it, they can reveal it sort of after the meeting is over or at different points during the meeting or during the event so that people can see it coming alive and taking shape and seeing the insights that they're hearing reflected on the screen. And then after it's over, they have the sort of thing to take away to remind them what was said. So this is something that I've been getting a lot of love for from my clients and a lot of people asking for because they're looking for ways to make their meetings more fun and interactive. And when we do that, my technical setup is really pretty simple. I have my iPad Pro and an Apple Pencil, and I have it connected either via cable or via what they call AirPlay. Now, if you don't have Apple, it doesn't really matter. The same thing works with Android, and they have other they have programs too. And there's an app called Procreate that I use on my iPad that is only $10. That allows you to do those kinds of doodles. And you don't necessarily have to make them be as elaborate as the one you just saw. You can just be, like drawing a diagram while you're talking to explain something. Like yesterday I was on a meeting where somebody was talking about Ikigai. That kind of when you're trying to decide like what, you know, all the things that make you, if things that make you happy and things that make you money, and you know, you need the things that you love and do the things that make money, do the things that that the world needs and that you're good at. And then this little space in here is where those all intersect, is your purpose, maybe your life purpose or your purpose. But you see how this is very, very rough, but it helps me explain what I'm talking about while we're having this conversation. So having something to look at that's moving and dynamic and is reflecting what's being said makes the meeting more dynamic, keeps people off their phones and off of their other tabs, especially if they see their own thoughts and their own contributions reflected in the picture as you're doing it.
So let's talk about that, because this first kind of pullback, because you've already done such a great job in kind of helping us already start to visualize the power of being able to provide such graphic creations, or just even stick figure drawings, right? So right. You don't have to be an artist in order to take advantage of the technology that's available to you as a leader or just as a team in order to be more collaborative, but be more visual. So let's talk about the need to give your team the ability to A, see what you're talking about, and then B, even be able to contribute to that. It's kind of like you're in a team, a room, right, together, but this is a virtual room. In the real world room, they would be able to get up and they'd be able to grab a marker and they'd be able to draw something. So
absolutely,
isn't that in essence what we're doing here?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's exactly what we're talking about here. Like what I've just shown you was kind of like an online whiteboard where one person is drawing. Okay, so I'm the one drawing, everybody's talking and I'm the one drawing. But there are lots of wonderful tools out there now that basically replicate what would be happening in a real live room if you were really there together, where there's whiteboard, where there's a wall and there's sticky notes and there's things that you can draw with and things that you can create with and ways to bring in pictures and things, and it's all virtual. So if you're working with a team that's that's distributed and they're all in different places, but even if they're all in the same place, be able to have a common area where everybody can contribute is really very exciting. So there's a few different tools out there that allow you to do this. The one I'm going to be talking about today is my favorite just because it's the one I learned about first. It's called Mural, like the word mural, M-U-R-A-L. I'm a member of their consultants network, and I just want to show you a little bit about what I'm talking about, because I think it'll be easier if I show you than if I just talk. So here is, they have this for iPad, but this is my desktop version, and you're looking at the facilitator view. So this is basically, imagine this is one big long white wall. So I'm navigating by pinching and zooming. And this is sort of a meeting sort of laid out like as it's supposed to, you know, left to right as you're going to be doing it. Now this one has actually been used already. So you'll see there's some sticky notes there with already some people's words on it. And so basically what this allows people to do is to add sticky notes. I can link to the sticky note. I can do all kinds of things and I can write on them. So you see that these are different people's thoughts. I didn't write these things. These are people who would all be invited into the mural who would be able to put their thoughts in here. You'll notice that that there are dots on here. I'm going to talk a little bit about the modality of this kind of a meeting in a second, but right now I'm talking about the tech. This allows you to, if I wanted to talk about things that are working in my company and I wanted to bring in a picture where it's like, well, I really like that we have a lot, everybody gathers for coffee every day. If I put there, look, I have all these pictures of coffee that just come up that I can then like, oh, I'm going to put this, this, we have fancy coffee machines in the break room. We like that. So that's going to go above all the things that are working at our company, for example. So this mural allows you to bring in images. It allows you to draw images. Like if I decided I wanted to draw a coffee cup instead, now I'm doing this with my finger on my trackpad. So it's not the best, but you can see how now I have a picture of a coffee cup that I drew with my little cursor there. They have all kinds of icons. So if I wanted to look up for coffee icon, I have pictures like this that I could bring in. That's in there somewhere anyway, but it's interesting that it has all of these different things. But I want to talk to you about the kind of meeting that this would be. This comes from a company called AJ and Smart. It's called a Lightning Decision Jam. And Mural comes with all kinds of different templates that are pre-made, but you can just do a blank one and just decide what you want to talk about in your meeting. What do we want to do? We're going to try to come up with an idea for a new product, or we're going to try to here basically solve a problem, talk about what's not working and what is working, what's not working, what are the most important problems, and what do we want to do about it. So the sailboat exercise is something that's used a lot in design thinking, and this kind of meeting really comes from design thinking. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because when you think about brainstorming meetings, you think about lots of excitement and animation and people talking. And I love that because I love to talk and I love to have ideas. But the problem with most brainstorming meetings, and I've been in a fair amount because I always get pulled into them because people like my energy and contributions, and you popcorn all these ideas, but there's no organization, there's no implementation, nothing actually happens. We've all had a great time generating ideas, and now we've got a bunch of flip boards, and nothing happens, and there's nothing to do with it. With a process like this, we have a situation where everybody is what we call in the design thinking world, working alone together. And that means that if I were going to start, if we're going to say to, things are blinking on and off here, I think it must be my bandwidth. It doesn't normally do this, so sorry about that. Normally would stay static. But if I were going to be asking my team, and they would all be in this board with me, not just me, everybody is able to make sticky notes as many as they want. I would say, I'm going to put a minute on the timer. I'm going to put 1 minute on the timer, or I'm going to put, won't let me put any less. I'm going to put, with the different sounds I could make, let's say I'm going to put a cello sound. I don't know if it's going to come in the Zoom. And that's new since the last time I was here. I didn't remember that. And then I'm going to start the timer, and I'm going to say, please, write down everything that you think is working in the company, or everything that you think is working about this problem. Let's talk about the good things first, and everybody just put as many sticky notes as you can think of up here. And then the second time we would do it would be like, okay, now everybody, where I'm going to give you 1 or 2 minutes or 3 minutes to capture all the problems that we're having at the company. So I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. Let's see what people said were problems. So that's down by the anchor under the water. And so I don't remember what this board was about, but like whatever this was, things were time consuming, tedious, clients were still in crisis mode. This may have been something to do with project management. This is an old board that I worked on with someone. So when the timer goes off, I don't know if we'll hear the sound or not because of Zoom, but when the timer goes off, everybody needs to be finished, but they weren't influenced by somebody else's loud voice. There you go. If you see this little sound, they weren't influenced by everybody's loud voice. They were able to each think of their own ideas, and then people can then like evaluate all their own ideas. Then what you would do is, see, it says the third step is to vote on problems, and you'll see that these have already have this. This one has a little number 2 on it. This one has a little number 1 on it. Number 5 on it. That means that the people who are already in this board have already voted on these, but you usually don't see the votes until after. So you don't know how anybody else is voting. So if I wanted to start a voting session, I would do this. I would start a voting session, and I would give everybody gets like, say, 3 votes or 4. Everybody gets 4 votes, and you could put as many dots. I'm going to say test problem. Everybody gets 3 votes. And so, so right now, any member of the mural is just me and facilitator. So now we can all vote on this, and I'm going to start voting. And now you see there's no, the votes are gone here. You don't see. So I'm going to say, I have 3 votes. I'm going to say that this being time consuming is a problem, and this being tedious is a problem. In fact, I think being tedious is such a big problem, I'm going to put an extra vote on that one. And I'm going to say I have votes left. One person, let's see if it could end the voting session. So now it shows you that, okay, so it's just this one voting session shows me that tedious got 2 votes and very time consuming got 1 vote. But if we had many, many people here, you would end up with, something where it was, you'd have like 15 or 16 different votes. And then you'd be able to see, okay, well, now we realize that this problem being tedious is the biggest problem. So now you might move to the right, and you could prioritize like how high a priority is solving this problem right now. Is it low priority? Is it high priority?
Being able to do business online is crucial for survival, especially during times of social distancing. So how do you survive and thrive in the sea of digital noise? It's a lot like fishing.
You need to know who your perfect customer is so that you can use the right kind of lure to attract them. We help you catch your perfect customer and retain them for future sales through highly converting websites, influencer mobile apps, getting you featured in the news and on TV. Hi, my name is Jerry Bowden, U.S. Army veteran and president of Revealio Software Solutions. Our goal is to help you rise above the competition, be seen as an expert authority in your industry, and embrace technology to stay competitive for long-term success. It's more affordable than you may think. So reach out to us at Revealio.com and together we will make your business come alive.
Can I interject something here, Lisa?
Yeah.
Just for the listeners that are not necessarily able to see everything
right.
that she's sharing, I do want to reiterate that this interactive whiteboard solution, this tool that's available for those who are hosting regular team meetings, it also gives, not only does it give visual aids as to what is being discussed, so that people retain the information differently than just being talked to, but it right. also gives the team an opportunity to vote on things anonymously. And I really like that, because when you have a large or even a smaller, sometimes it's even more intimidating when it's a smaller team, when you really want them to speak truth, but they might feel like peer pressure or whatnot. So this is an opportunity for people to enter, or your team members to enter their thoughts as far as things that they're recognizing as problems without necessarily a fear of backlash, because there's no tracing as to who said this, or who put that sticky note out, or who voted that way. Is that correct?
Right, absolutely. See, people might be biased towards their own ideas. They might be biased towards the boss's ideas, or who are the lead team leader's ideas. But also, people are just normally influenced just by what they see other people doing, even if they're not fearing any kind of backlash, just because of, you know, well, that's more popular, so I better go with that one, you know. And so this, in a way, that makes doing it virtually this way superior to doing it, because like I said before, this replicates what we would do in a room where people would have literal like sticky dots in the room and putting them up on post-it notes on a real wall. Everybody can see what everybody else is voting on. In this case, they really don't. And it's a big reveal when you reveal what won the contest. But everybody knows that their voice matters, and that it doesn't, no one knows what they chose. The biggest difference between the way you would normally solve problems in this way or brainstorm this way and the way they do it in this kind of more design thinking kind of world is we reframe problem as a challenge. So instead of saying, oh, we have this problem, like this was about project management example, I have no idea what's happening on project X. You turn it into something that's called a how might we, or an HMW. How might we make sure everyone stays in the loop with all the running projects? So when you ask it that question in that kind of way, rather than saying we have this problem that no one knows what's going on, and you say, well, how might we make sure everyone stays in the loop on all the running projects? It allows you to generate much more creative ideas and much more kind of out of the box ideas that you might not have thought of if you were just thinking about it from the problem. So then you would generate, you know, some solutions, and then you would vote on the solutions the same way you voted on the problems, and decide and prioritize them. But what I like the most is putting things on an effort impact scale, which I think you've probably seen before. Like now we've culled down, you know, the best ideas. We've voted on the best ideas for how we think we can move this problem forward or transform something that we'd like to make better at our company. And now you put it on the effort impact scale. If it's got high impact and low effort, then it's something that you want to do right now. This is going to be like, wow, if we do this one little thing, if we just send an extra email on Monday morning, or we have a stand-up meeting for 15 minutes or something like that, that's going to make a huge difference. And it's really easy. So that's something you can do right now. You can see this in the upper left. If it's something that is low impact, but also low effort, it's probably just a to-do. It probably ends up being like, well, that's nice. That would be nice. It's not going to do very much, but it's not hard. So let's just do it. if it's something that's high impact, but it's also high effort, it's going to take a few months or it's going to take extra team or whatever it is, then it ends up in this quadrant here up on the upper right, where you make it into a project. Okay, this is probably going to need some more steps. Let's figure out like how we're going to make this happen, but it's worthwhile because the impact is high. So this is worth discussing further. And if it's low impact and high effort, well, there's a lot of stuff we're doing. Gosh, how much do that is, it doesn't really move the needle and it's really hard. So like just, it's, you have permission to say, you know what, we're not going to do this. This is not, this idea seemed good, but it's like what my old boss would call a false good idea. Like it sounded good for, and then when you actually realize like what kind of impact would it make, it might not be something that you want to pursue.
Well, Lisa, let's go ahead and let's move beyond this, I think, to wrap up this particular interview and just kind of share right. a little bit more conceptually. You've done a really great job helping us visualize how a team could potentially use such a whiteboard. But I know you had mentioned some others that you might want to also talk about because
right.
everybody's going to come in from a different
right.
You want to find out what works best for you. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the different type of thinking. You talked about the creative thinking versus the selective thinking. And this is a great tool for all of those different types of processes.
Right. That's a good point. I know I get, it's really easy to get excited about the technology and get and want to show it off. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to share my iPad for a second, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. When you're doing any kind of a creative project or any kind of a creative exercise, you're going to want to do what's called divergent thinking at the beginning. This is where you're going out and you're, this is where you would be popcorning the ideas and everybody's coming up with their ideas. You're basically getting everything out on the table. It's kind of like an artist squeezing a bunch of paint out of a tube. Like just to get ready to like, I want to have all the colors available to me. Like, what are all the ideas that we have? What's everything that's going on? What are all the problems? What are all the good things? What are all the questions? All those things, you get them out. And then once you start to cull it down, we do the voting, we do the discussion, and we do the kind of the culling down, then you end up wanting to do kind of more divergent thinking. It's like, now we're going to narrow things down to what are we actually going to, What's the result we actually want at the end of all this, where we're going to be able to, actually do something with it. So what happens with most brainstorming sessions is that you only end up doing this part where it's just a bunch of popcorn and nothing ever happens. And a lot of regular meetings where they don't even do the creative part. They only do this part where it's like, what are we going to do next? Like, what's our next step? But they haven't really enlisted the creative sort of juice and input of their team. So when you can do a little bit of both, even in a short meeting, it's like, okay, let's talk about all of the ideas that we have, what's going on, everybody, like even in a stand-up, to be able to, and now we've heard from everybody, what do we want to move forward on this week? What's, you know, how, which of these things is, should be priority, what has to happen now, then you would still have that same kind of diamond effect. I mean, in a longer meeting, you might have many different ones where you'd go back and forth between divergent and convergent. The difficulty happens, and I'm sure you might've seen this, if you're trying to be creative and selective at the same time, if you're trying to write your novel and edit yourself at the same time, if you're trying to paint a picture and fix your problems at the same time, it doesn't work. You can't wear the creator's hat and the editor's hat at the same time. So you give people freedom to do all their ideas at the beginning, with no judgment, but then you have to try. Then you have to say, okay, now it's time to make some choices, and having both.
Yeah, having both. I think that what I loved so much when I first was talking with you is obviously the visual aids with the learning process, or just the whole creative, getting it out there, team brainstorming process. But what I also really love is that if you are able to start incorporating this type of technology with your virtual teams, what will happen is your teams will start walking away feeling a lot more seen, valued, and heard, like their input matters, and that you're actually walking away with actionable steps that everybody was able to visualize together. Most employees hate going to meetings. And the reason why is they feel it's a complete waste of time because, like you said, they all just do a bunch of like brainstorming and then nothing every actionable ever gets assigned. Or if they do, it's still, they walk away so confused as to how or what they're supposed to actually be implementing. So I'm really digging this. I really want to go ahead and just move into quickly, like, what are some other platforms that you can list, maybe some names of some other softwares? And
sure.
And then again, if you are listening or watching this interview and you would like a more in-depth like webinar where we can go into the different scenarios of using these various whiteboard type technologies to make your team brainstorming or just team meetings or even events, by the way, you can actually incorporate this with events, or speakers can start incorporating something like this as they're speaking. It just depends on you because tech can get glitchy. So being a speaker, you know, you may or may not want to incorporate something like this. But yeah, let's go ahead and have you share, just name a few platforms that they could potentially research into. And then we're going to go ahead and wrap up this interview so that we can just make sure people walk away feeling like you've given them just a ton of value. And then maybe how they can reach out to you if they're interested in learning more.
Sure. So the one we just talked about is called Mural, like a mural on a wall. There's another one which is sadly sounds similar, called Miro, M-I-R-O. Very similar, different aesthetic, but it's very similar working. Both of those are paid software. They're not that expensive, but there is something that you probably have on your computer that is free, and it's called Google Jamboard. So if you look in your Google apps and you see all the things, you see maps and you see all those other things, you see Drive, keep going down, you'll see something called Jamboard. And it's basically similar to Mural. It's set up as slides rather than one big long wall, which you might even prefer, but it has the similar workings of, it has sticky notes, it brings in images, you can draw. And so it's a great way to try out this kind of working together with your team without having to make an investment or learn a whole new platform or something. You can experiment and have some fun. And then you can decide if you'd like to upgrade to something a little bit more robust, but it might be enough for you. As far as doing doodling while you're doing a meeting, I've already told you about, you know, using an Apple Pencil and an iPad. Google Surface Pro is fine also, and they have their own software. If you use an iPad, I like Procreate. Also Adobe Draw. And it's really, really very simple and intuitive to use. If you've ever used Photoshop, it's very similar to that without actually much less complicated. So these tools I want to emphasize are very, very easy to learn. Microsoft, if you're inside of a company that uses Teams, they have their own whiteboarding tool and things like that. Most people don't like it very much, just saying, but you may be required to use that, and they have tools like this too. The most important thing is just to bring visual collaboration into your meeting so that people are, you know, engage their senses, they engage their eyes, they're moving their hands around, they're thinking together, rather than just passively sitting and taking in death by PowerPoint or just talking heads. Because that can really become, you know, old fashioned. People can't help like losing interest in that.
Right. And I want to just point out too, that there's a lot of CEOs or just maybe project managers that may feel that they don't have time to learn a new software that like this, but realistically, you can't not afford to invest in making it so that your teams are more cohesive. Your brainstorming sessions are more powerful, like things are actually getting done. The needle is being moved. And that's why I wanted this to be on the Tech with Heart show. I think it's such a valuable piece in an online virtual working world, which we are going to stay in for a very long time. And we may go back to some people going back into the workforce at a building. Others are going to continue to work at home. So this is our new norm. Mm-hmm. And it's safe, and you're not infecting other people, or you're just
you mentioned something that I know we were supposed to wrap up, but you mentioned something that's super important. The fact that we're all working remotely, or may not be working remotely. Some people may be in the office, some people may not be in the office. And I've heard a lot of concern about people who are working remotely going to be feeling like second-class citizens or not being included as much c- compared to the people who are going to be physically in the office? And how can we manage that? How can we bridge that gap? And this working visually in this way, when you're doing virtual meetings, really kind of democratizes and takes away the location sort of bias of who's where, because everybody's in this virtual place together, no matter where they're physically located. And everybody has an equal voice, no matter whether they're physically located. So there's no meeting that happens that this person wasn't included in, you know. And as far as learning a new technology, I know nobody wants to do that. But if I'm a leader and I'm telling my team, we're going to do this because I want you to have fun at meetings and I want you to actually be able to have input and be included, it's not a chore to learn something that we're doing so that more people can have a voice and more people can have fun and more people can interact. It's not, you know, it's not learning another Excel spreadsheet, you know, function. It's more of a, it's a learning something that allows you to have more of a voice and more, be more creative at work. And I think most people would appreciate that gesture from a leader in their team.
So yes, Lisa, you've been, so, like I said, just a plethora of value, knowledge, and even visual sharing. This has been great. How can people learn more about you? Where can they go?
Well, I would love for people to come to one of my many websites. It's called drawingoutyourgenius.com. And if you'll come there, you'll see some other things that I've been doing with graphic recording and with virtual meetings. But you'll also be able to, you'll see a pop-up, one of those annoying pop-ups. But if you put your name and email in there, you'll be able to get some templates that are really a lot of fun to use that will help you do some things with your team or with your staff that, you know, help them kind of think outside the box and enjoy themselves at their next meeting.
Fantastic. And then what is like one takeaway thought that you would like to leave with those who tuned into this interview today?
Well, I mean, we touched on it earlier, but, you know, most people feel that meetings are a huge waste of time. And I think a lot of people would agree, but a waste of time and a waste of people's talents. So it's worth taking a new approach to be able to make the most of all of those things so that people, you know, feel seen, heard, and valued at work and are able to really make an impact. Because, you know, your human resources, whatever size company you have, they really are resources, but you're not really using them if you're making them just sit through a bunch of boring PowerPointy meetings or pointless, like because we feel like we have to. This is a way for people to really contribute. So make meetings meaningful and memorable and fun.
I love the memorable and fun for sure. Let's go ahead and thank Lisa. Thank you so much for being here on the Tech with Heart show, because we need more innovative ideas on how to empower entrepreneurs to be successful, especially when it comes to embracing technology so they can stay competitive and relevant. Relevancy is such a huge one. If your teams aren't feeling seen or heard, they're going to start tuning out and it's just going to start falling apart for you. So really hoping that you value what Lisa's sharing with you, the idea of being more involving of your teams, giving them a voice and not necessarily making them feel that there's pressure by their responses, you know, providing this anonymous kind of way to contribute. I really like that as well. So if you are an entrepreneur and you would like to grow alongside other forward-thinking, heart-centered entrepreneurs, I invite you to join our community called techwithheartnetwork.com. Just go there, you join our community. We're online, we're offering so much value. Online, we're doing virtual events where we're meeting face-to-face so that we're really growing and building relationships there. We're always looking for experts too, like Lisa, business experts. If you are a business expert and you feel that you have either a system or a technology or a mindset or just a coaching that you would like to give back to entrepreneurs, reach out to us again at techwithheartnetwork.com. Always looking for excellent leaders to help bring value and insights to our entrepreneurial community. So we are Tech with Heart, and here is to your success.